This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Today's episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk is brought to you by Miro, Green Chef, and Eucora.
Woohoo! We are so excited to have them on board.
Oh my God.
Oh, hello, hello, hello.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
These ovaries could talk.
We should stop ourselves.
Yeah, okay. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we are your hosts, as always.
Yes.
And we are so happy to be here with you.
Wait, wait, wait.
What?
Before we tell everybody about being here and about our guest, Julia Scotti, which we're coming back to.
She's so cool.
We have a major piece of news to announce.
It's so big and exciting. Oh my gosh, and scary all at once.
All right, guys, we are going to be live.
Live.
If These Ovaries Could Talk is going to be live. We are in partnership with, no big deal, WNYC and The Green Space.
It's so huge. It's so huge. We are so excited.
Part of their series that's called the Podcast Mixtape Series.
I mean, we are so honored to even be part of this.
I know. I was like, really?
I know. And they're the nicest people.
Oh my God. And they're so helpful. It's so fantastic.
You guys, this is going to be so good.
Oh my God. So it's a live show.
Well, everybody around us is going to be so good. I don't know about us.
Well, I think they live stream it too. So if you're not in the New York area, come see us live, obviously.
Come.
But if not, I think they live stream it.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful space. You're not going to be coming to some rinky dinky, like,
no, we're not
weird,
messing around,
dark room. Yep. It's like, for real, it's beautiful. It's called The Green Space. So that tells you something.
Well, that doesn't tell you anything other than it's called The Green Space.
I don't know. I think green beauty.
Wait, we didn't even say who our guest is.
Guys.
Holy. You guys, this is almost like when you date a really hot girl. Like, we're so out of our league, like in the space and with our guest, Stacey Ann Chin.
You guys.
Guys, activist, poet. She was on Oprah. Okay.
I mean, she's done so much more than even just Oprah.
I don't even know. She has a book. She's an author. Like, she's every woman.
She is.
Don't sing it.
She's prolific.
She's just a dynamo. It's going to be the most incredible live show. That's the thing, is like, I'm just excited to sit next to Stacey Ann Chin and just like watch her go.
She's amazing.
I know.
She's an amazing woman.
So get your tickets now, because there's limited
seats. We pale
seats.
In comparison. Listen, I don't really know how we're going
to
hold
up. Let's not beat ourselves up yet. Let's just try to do a good job.
I'm very excited.
Happens.
Like, this is crazy. This is so exciting. Know, you guys have to come.
And I also think, like when she said yes, I was like, oh my God, yeah. And I was like, oh, I just lost all sense of professionalism. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, she's She's a mom.
Just a single parent by choice. It's going to be a great show.
And her kid is adorable.
All right.
And
get your tickets now. Yes. So you're going to go to thegreenspace.org. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can get tickets.
Green,
you can,
G-R-E-E-N-E.
Yes, that's important. Yes. And you could also go to our Facebook page, If These Ovaries Could Talk, and you can. There's a link to the event page there to get tickets.
Yeah.
So get your tickets.
Come one, come all.
It's and the event is November 26th, Monday, November 26th at 7 p.m.
It's we'll a Monday.
Be there. So. I hope you guys come, because if nobody comes, it'll be embarrassing.
You guys are going to come. They'll come. If you build it, they will come.
Well, we didn't. Jerome Green built it, but
it's going to be
come.
Amazing.
We're coming.
It's going to be. So anyway.
Tension's coming. You should come. All right.
Robin, who's here today?
I am so excited. Julia Scotti is here today.
We just talked about one amazing woman. Now we're talking about another amazing woman.
I mean, we just are like nailing it with the amazing women this season.
Julia Scotti, she's a nationally headlining comedian.
She's an author, a speaker.
Former teacher.
And she describes herself as a woman of transgendered experience. That's from her bio.
Yeah, so she's got a lot to talk about with us.
I can't wait to hear about, she was also, quarter finalist on the season 11 of America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And that's where she came out as a transgender woman nationally.
Nationally, on that stage.
I can't wait to ask her about that. Should we get her in here?
Yeah, we have so much to talk about with her.
Lots.
Can't wait. And she's funny.
Funnier than us.
Everyone
Let's
is.
Get her in here.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Welcome to our podcast.
This studio is just incredible. It's like an entertainment complex.
Yeah.
So we want to start where we start with everybody, about the elevator pitch of you, of your family.
Who are you?
Yes. Tell us a little bit about Julia.
Who am I? Born and raised in Jersey. I started out with different body parts than I have now. Mm-hmm. As a comedian, I started in 1980. I was Rick Scotti for 20 years.
Oh, I didn't realize you've been doing comedy that long.
That's right. I started back in the Stone Age. We had to do our act through a megaphone. And I actually got in just before the boom of the 80s. Not because, I knew anything was going to... I was a musician. I was a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a show in Jersey at a Chinese restaurant. I signed up for it because I always wanted to do stand-up. And strangely enough, I got a couple of laughs. and for a comic, it's like heroin. That's what I was like, sign me up.
Wow.
And so I was married at the time with a young child on the way. That didn't stop me.
That didn't stop you from comedy?
You weren't like, this seems like a really good path for our future.
Well, yeah we're going to get along real well in this marriage. Yeah, you don't make any money in comedy. I mean, there's no money.
Some people do. Some very few people,
like two people.
Right?
I've been very blessed.
You've made a career out of it.
Yeah.
Don't tell the IRS.
Like I said, I got in just before the boom hit. So when it hit, I started working all these Jersey gigs, and I was making a living. And
by the way, that's the goal, is to make a living from
everybody
work.
Thinks it's fame. And listen, let me tell you, if you're making a living, you're paying the mortgage every month, that's a success.
It's a huge deal.
You're making,
I got out of the business after 20. I became a teacher, and I found out that I don't deal with authority figures very well. As do most comics.
As I was going to say, as most stand-ups do not.
No, but I love teaching, but I hated the...
It's a lot of red tape.
I'm so interested in your material.
The material you did
for 20 years. Mm-hmm. What was your material? What kind of stuff was, how'd you make them laugh?
I did a lot about my marriages, my kids. It's typical fare, there was nothing groundbreaking about my act. I was good.
You just talked about life.
Yeah, which is pretty much what I do now.
Yeah.
And life is, a little different now.
Right.
Because I'm transgender.
Jamie.
Yes.
Oh my God, I found my new favorite delivery service.
Another one.
Yes, Myro deodorant. You know I love it. And guess what? It is right up your alley.
It is.
Myro delivers basically obsession-worthy, naturally effective deodorant that looks as good as it smells.
Yes, it's true.
And you know what's cool about it is it comes in this really cool reusable case that's refillable, right? So that way Myro, when you get the refill, you're reducing the plastic waste by about half. versus typical brands.
I got this. I got Myro, but let me tell you, I was nervous because I've tried other deodorants that are all natural and they just don't work. And it needs to work for me because I teach dance,
you know, for reals.
I mean, I don't want to stink. No. And I also got the Solar Flare scent, which is all citrusy and fresh.
Oh, I love the citrus smell.
I know, it smells good.
And Jamie, I know why you like it.
Yes, because their formula has no toxic anything. 0% aluminum, 0% parabens.
And those parabens are bad.
So bad. Their ingredients are also clinically tested for safety and efficacy. Oh.
You love that word.
I do. I just love to say it. And it also happens to be hardworking and long lasting.
Because you did just come from dance, Jamie. I did. I can't smell you.
I smell good right now.
I know.
And I just taught 3 classes.
Well, and listen, here's the good thing is that you get a refresh every 3 months, which is delivered straight to your door. And that's basically about when most people run out of their deodorant. Mm-hmm.
And so, listeners, get 50% off your first order and get started today for just
$5.
Visit mymyro.com/OCT and use promo code OCT.
So in case you didn't hear Jamie, I'm going to tell you again. You
tell
get
it again.
50% off your first order and get started today for just $5.
$5.
So you visit mymyro.com/OCT and you can use that promo code OCT.
OCT. Use it. Okay, so you did comedy 20 years. You left it. You became a teacher. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out.
It worked out for 7 years. I was happy doing it. Yeah.
Okay.
And a friend of mine one day named Chris Rich, she's a comedian from Philadelphia. We went for lunch. I hadn't seen her in a couple of years. By that point, I had transitioned into Julia. And I was nervous about meeting her, but it was like we were old friends. And
sure. Mm-hmm.
She said to me, "So when are you coming back to comedy?" I go, "Yeah." I said, "I'm never coming back." It just happened that she was working at a club in Bristol, Pennsylvania called Comedy Works. And I had worked there for years. She goes, "You know, you wanna."
I love it. "You know, you wanna."
"You know, you wanna." And so I went down. She talked me into it. And I, again, like 20 years before, I went up and got a couple of laughs. And it was like timing.
I mean, did you plan this out? Or you were just like, okay, let me get up there and see what comes out. I'm just so fascinated because this is something I would never do. Robin's done stand-up.
I did back in the 90s. Oh, okay. Yeah, for a couple of years.
I don't think it's for me. But
it's
so
not
I'm
for everybody.
Fascinated. It beats you just got up there and were like, let me see if I can get some laughs.
Well, here's what happened. I was at this point in my life where I needed to tell the world that I was transgender. I was still dealing with a little bit of shame of, you know, having my generation, you didn't do this kind of thing. But I knew if I came back, I wanted to be 2 things on stage. I wanted to be fearless and honest.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because that was what was lacking in my first go around as a comic.
Wait, because you couldn't be?
Right.
Because you were hiding from yourself,
I didn't know what the hell was going on with me back then, you know? I just kept getting married and making babies, and I was like, I'm still not happy.
Right.
And there's something not right about it that I'm feeling inside. And I, you know, back then, who the hell knew?
There wasn't as many, like, buckets and options and, like, free-flowing that we have today.
Right.
Like genderqueer or like queer and sexuality. Like none of that was really kind of like gay.
You were either
gay or straight, yeah. Maybe bi.
I think whoever you're attracted to,
right,
regardless of the gender, because gender's a bunch of bullshit anyway.
It sure is. This is what I'm learning a lot lately.
Well, because I am substantially older, it was always, you know, boys are boys and girls are girls.
Right.
And having gone through this, I realized that, I mean, there is no absolute male, no absolute female.
Right.
You're somewhere on this scale. Mm-hmm. It's like a grayscale. You know?
Yeah.
And I talk about this in my act, but, you know, you think I'm a freak because why? Because I had this surgery or because I mean, you look, you know, women get new boobs, they get new asses, they get new noses.
Do.
Nobody says a damn thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I go,
To make them feel the way they think
exactly.
they are inside.
But nobody says anything.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and then you look at nature and there's all kinds of animals out there with some really strange, you know, genitalia. I mean, I talk about this.
One animal that can like procreate by itself.
The banana slug.
I don't think I knew it was the banana slug, but I knew
it's a yellow slug. It's got a penis on its head.
I love how excited you got about that.
Well, because I talk about this in my act, yeah. It's got a penis on its head, and it's got a vagina in the lower part of its body. And it meets up with another banana slug, and they sort of...
Oh, wait. So the two of them do it, but they're...
They're like 69 in it, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And
do they ever do it themselves?
Yes. That's the thing. They can do it, which I said, you know, if you're the parent of a teenage banana slug, it's like, you know, Joey, what are you doing in the bathroom? Come on.
Get out of that bathroom, Angel.
I'll be on the minute, Ma. I'm reading.
I'm taking a shower.
Oh,
it's your fifth shower.
There's all kinds. There's clownfish.
Yeah.
They're all born male.
Yes, yes.
And then what happened?
Well, good question. You would wonder, well, where are all the new clownfish coming from?
Right.
What happens is the biggest clownfish in the school, you know, looks around and goes, there's no female clownfish. So it just goes, and it becomes a female.
What?
I don't know if it's that quick, but.
I wonder how that happens.
Like parts fall off and open up?
Yeah, God, me. I haven't hung around. I guess it's like a clown car where they go in, you know.
That's Always Nemo, right?
Start coming
is it Nemo
out.
A clownfish? Nemo.
Nemo's a clownfish, yeah. Point I was trying to make is that being trans and inhuman is not an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a million different kinds of flowers. I think of myself as a flower that just got discovered.
Aww. Aww. That's so nice.
I know.
Well, can we talk about your discovery?
Sure.
I'm assuming you were married to a woman with children at the time of said discovery.
That's how you had the children.
I was married two and a half times. The last time was...
Two and a half times.
Half. I've never heard of this
Well, the last time was annulled because of the, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't count that as a full
That's the one where you were transitioning?
Yes. But she's the one that got me to... And she's a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
She's the one who got me to understand what the issue was with me.
Really?
Oh, yes.
So you had no idea.
I knew something was amiss.
Huh.
And I thought I was gay. And so I, you know, went out and a couple of times tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept throwing up afterwards.
Oh.
And I said, well, I don't think this is...
For me.
Yeah. I think you're supposed to throw up afterwards.
No. That's a general rule. I'm going to say no.
Nope. And so,
oh, shit, that's funny.
But here's what happened. And I made a final date with this person, guy I met in a bar. And I was all giggly, like, you know, I'm gonna cook for him. I'm going to make him spaghetti and meatballs. And, you know.
And your wife is at home at this point, or you're separated?
No, we're separate.
Okay.
But I said, he's going to fall in love with me. We're going to live, la, 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 la. I'm just like, I'm bouncing around the house like Donna Reed, you know, making this. He comes over, and I barely know this guy.
Right.
He comes over, he's got two bottles of wine. And I feed him, and I wiping the spaghetti off his face. And I'm just being like, you know, Susie
Donna
Hallmaker.
Reed.
Yeah, Donna Reed. And long story short, he wanted more than just spaghetti.
Which you didn't know that was
you were like, I'm
I kind of was willing to give him the meatballs too, you know. I'm not good at playing hard to get, you know.
None of us are.
No. So anyway, yeah, so we did the deed. He had brought two bottles of wine. We got three quarters of a bottle done. He still got the one open, unopened one. We finish up. Well, he finished up. I was just sort of.
No.
He gets up, gets dressed, takes his bottles of wine.
What?
And leaves.
What?
Yeah. And now I'm devastated. So like the next day, I mean, I'm calling my ex.
Can't believe he didn't even leave the wine, the turd.
The bastard, I know.
Let's Google stalk him after this and like
I
really
know where
get into
he
it.
Works too.
Oh.
Let's get
anyway,
into this.
Crying. She came over and she just was consoling him. She goes, you know. She was a therapist. Like it happened that she was a psychologist. And she goes, you know, it doesn't sound like you want to love a man. It sounds like you want to be loved like a woman.
Mm.
She goes, you are a woman. You know that, don't you? And something that I had been told this many times before.
You had?
Had been told that
by the other previous two wives, that I was a woman.
Like, but in like a pejorative sort of way? Like,
well,
like, oh, you're such a girl.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it was a pejorative.
You're so emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you the one crying? The
yes,
stuff like that.
Right. Hmm. I cry too much. Now you're, you know, I did. I
why do you always want to cook for me?
Yes.
James getting all wound up here.
I'm trying to.
But James, no, she's right there.
I know.
Like,
I'm trying to get in
wait,
your
were
head.
We together?
Yeah. Were you
did
one
I marry
of my two
you
and a half wives?
So I know we've been talking over the last few weeks about how much we love HelloFresh, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to think I'm cheating on them, but I got my first order from Green Chef this week. Oh,
Jimmy.
What?
You're not cheating on them. HelloFresh owns Green Chef.
So, no, I knew that. So I totally knew that. I knew that.
It's good you're getting both. But Green Chef is basically the company from HelloFresh that is USDA certified organic company. And they have meal plans that include paleo, vegan. These are all you, Jamie. Vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore.
Yeah, I got the vegetarian. It's perfect for me.
I got the carnivore.
This is perfect
for me.
Oh my
God, I had the steak with curries. It was just like unbelievable. I made a steak and I felt, I made a steak. It was
good job, Rob.
Anyway, it is kind of perfect for you.
I know, because Green Chef sends a wide variety of organic ingredients and really imaginative new recipes each week. And with Green Chef's like crazy wide variety of all these organic ingredients, you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. I love that.
I do too. It was just like, as I was making the meal, I was just like, look at all this great stuff.
I know,
like,
you feel good. Measured. You feel good.
Feel good.
Even though you didn't do all the,
and
you know,
I was like,
prep.
I'm a chef. And when, you know what I also love, those just have no trips to the store.
Yeah.
They basically are planning dinner around my life and they're doing the meal planning, the shopping, and pretty much all the prep week after week.
My God, you love that.
I really do. I love help.
So listen, for $50 off your first box of Green Chef.
That's so good.
Yes, go to greenchef.us/OCT.
I mean,
$50.
No, that's a good deal, guys.
Yeah.
There's something about the way she said it, and I went, you're right. There's a chakra right in your chest, right in my thorax area. Mm-hmm. And I had always felt like there was a big black hole. That's what I called it.
Wow.
And I could see it in my mind's eye, you know. The minute she said that about being a woman, the minute it clicked in my head, I could feel that light start to grow inside me. I swear to God, I know it sounds metaphysical and all, but it was like Moses on the road to Damascus, you know, with the burning bush. Uh-huh. It was exactly like that in an instant. It was right. Yeah, I felt, oh my God, that's it.
Now, I'm curious, did you have right behind it any internalized shame or anything? Because I remember, like, I can only compare it to sexuality for me, of like the first few times I thought, no, I'm gay. And like right behind it was this panic and fear of like, I can't be that.
Only when it came to telling my kids, it wasn't so much shame as fear. Mm. I felt complete for the first time in my life.
Ever. From that moment on.
From that moment
from
on.
From that one moment.
Never.
Like it was just like you knew. It was like, that's it.
It was like somebody pulled this veil from my eyes, you know, and I could.
That's amazing.
It was just this.
I have goosebumps.
Oh my God. You know, she's right. But then the part kicked in about, because don't forget, this is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No information, nothing. I go, wait a minute, this kind of stuff doesn't happen to people like me. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, stupid. What are people like you? Like, what are you special? Like, why should that happen to you? You know, and with the little information there was about it, everything seemed to fit, including multiple marriages and multiple partners. I mean, there's this intense need to be normal. Mm. And it's that always searching to be normal.
Right.
And you know, when you finally came out,
yeah.
Did you not finally feel normal?
I felt more myself.
Yeah.
I felt like I was with the person that I understood in a way that I was like, oh, I see you and you see me. Whereas like with a guy, I didn't see them. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, I don't get you. You're different. And I imagine like,
did
just take that
up?
And apply it to you. And then I threw up in the corner and I was like, why are you taking the wine?
Yeah. Like that. You know, and it's, I didn't really see it in myself. I felt it, but I didn't see it until my ex. We started to work on my eyebrows at some point because I was getting.
This is the therapist ex.
Yeah, I was getting ready to transition, and she tweezed them into shape.
Because it makes the face.
Sure
come
does.
On, can we talk about this?
Well, I went into the bathroom to see what I looked like, and I started weeping. I mean, I could see it.
Yeah.
For the first time. And I've never regretted it. The only, you know, losing my children for as long as I lost them was the worst part of it.
Your kids were from your first two marriages?
Mm-hmm. The two, I have three altogether. The one I was already sort of estranged with because his mother and I just, you know.
Yep.
But my other two, I was really close to. We were divorced at that point.
But I really just tried to stay in their lives. And
yeah.
I didn't move to the West Coast because I wanted to be mm-hmm. close to them. I mean, I wanted to be a mom,
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that at the time.
Right.
So their mother and I were always sort of butting heads about
who was mom?
Like roles.
Right. Without actually saying it. Anyway, when I came out to them, it was the...
As you were starting to transition?
Well, when you have... Yeah, just before I transitioned, you have to live the year in your new mm-hmm. gender. Well, this was 2000. I was still living as a reckoned dad. And I had to tell them because it was coming up soon.
Yeah.
It was hard. I think it was harder for my daughter than it was for my son. She was a little bit older.
How old were they?
Yeah, how old?
My daughter was just 12 and my son was 9.
Yeah, my daughter's 9. I could see that's like...
It's a hard age, yeah. Mm. And then, my daughter was just coming into puberty and everything. And I mean, it was like,
junior high.
And again, don't forget, this is 18, 19 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now it's maybe not such a,
Yeah, they didn't know anybody.
No, especially not where we live. Right. We lived at the Jersey Shore,
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see this mirrored back to you.
No. So if we had lived in New York, it might have, or maybe. A cosmopolitan area, it might have mm-hmm. been different.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, but it was hard for them. And so I was, long story short, I was asked to stay away, not by them, but I just felt like if I intrude myself in their lives, just because I'm being selfish here and I want them so badly, then I'm not doing what's best for them. They,
That's tough.
Well, they
but
made
so
it
so hard as you had to look at doing what, like,
it was
you
a selfish choice kind of thing. Yeah.
But it's not though. It's like you had a black hole in your heart and to be yourself. I understand as a mom, but like it's heartbreaking that you had to make that judgment about yourself in order for that, that's heartbreaking.
I was told that they didn't want me in their lives.
You said not by them. They didn't.
I knew they were angry with me, but I've always felt like together,
we could work it out.
We could work it all out.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case. And so there was so much Sturm und Drang at that point. I just, I'm just going to go away, basically. And that's the way it was for 14 years. Always hoping that they were going to grow up someday, mm-hmm. And
was there any contact at all, like cards, or it was just no?
I tried every now and then. I would send them an instant message, hey, how you doing, and nothing, And then one day, God bless my son, about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe, I sent him maybe it was a birthday present or something like that, and he answered me, and we started to talk again. The next thing I knew, we were having breakfast in the diner. We met in the diner, and little by little, we talked it out. His sister came a little bit later. She's mm-hmm. the older one, but...
And so how old were they at this point?
My daughter was 25, and my son was 23 at the time, so... Mm. Yeah, and now, my son... has aspiration. Well, he did before too to be a comedian. He's a he's a great writer. He's into improv. He's a musician. He's a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is out in San Francisco.
That's where I'm from.
Are you really? I love San Francisco. Oh my God, I love it out there.
It's a good town.
Oh
yeah.
So that's my story.
Like the sort of reuniting. Like did you have feelings about the fact that the mom sort of was. Instrumental in being a part of it, or do you just sort of give it all up?
Well, I went through a lot of years where I just hated her for, doing that. And one of the things I've learned, coming out as trans and developing and said, people, you can't hold on to that hate because I would hate everybody. You can't have expectations about the way people should respond.
Right.
Because when you do, you're putting your expectations on how they should behave, and that's wrong. They have their own expectations about how they should behave. And so, I had to learn to stop having expectations. And
that's not easy.
It's not. It took a lot of, and I still every now and then go, son of a bitch, you swathed, and then I have to catch myself. I realized if somebody came to me and said that they were doing what I did, I would probably go, what? I had a cousin who told me, this very witty, urbane, sophisticated woman. She lives in a major city on the East Coast. And she said to me at a restaurant, "You're doing this for attention, aren't you?" Mm. I'm like, what?
Right.
I go, if I wanted attention, I'd get a big, you know, kind of Aretha Franklin inauguration hat with a bird in it, you know. And,
or I would do stand-up.
Or I'd
thank
do stand-up, or I'd pull a quarter out of your ear, or, you know, here, look at this tablecloth. Hey, look, I'm just pulling. I would do something stupid like that, but not this.
Not this.
Yeah. You know, this is, you know, what kind of a statement is that?
That's, yeah. I mean, that's what people are saying about people in the Me Too movement now. You know, they're coming out for attention and, you know.
Oh, don't even get me started. Yeah. Well, are we talking specifically about it? Our latest Supreme Court nominee? Or
well, I mean, that's partly what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
It's not pretty.
But it's everyone there, you know.
Look, I've been molested as a child. I've been physically abused as a child. I can tell you that the guy that molested me was on the street. I could tell you what car he was driving. I could tell you what he had in the car. Mm. I could tell you what he looked like. Mm-hmm. And that was 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So more than 50 years ago.
It sticks.
It sticks. So if she, we're talking about Dr. Ford here in this case, if she doesn't remember, you know, certain details like how she got
home. What day it was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
How many people were at the party?
I have a feeling that's not what she's thinking about when it comes to that night.
Well, you see, you know, you get done with something like that. You escape with what you think is your life at that point. Yeah. You know, she could have hitchhiked home for us. You know, I mean, it's the whole argument is just ridiculous. And then I look at somebody like Lindsey Graham. It's like, what the hell happened to that guy? Oh, my God. Did they bury his soul with John McCain's? He just went berserk. He's like, you know, he's like this guy who just needs to be loved by some man. Not that he's gay or anything.
He does seem a little gay.
I didn't say that.
I did, though.
I did not say that. But.
Me was it, me think thou doth protest too much.
Me think.
Yeah.
Jamie, is it an inappropriate question if I ask you if you get a lot of UTIs?
I mean, it's a little out of the blue.
Well, no, but listen, my coworker was just talking about it. She was saying she had one, and she was saying that UTIs are the second most common infection in the U.S. I didn't know that.
No, it's true. Half of all women get UTIs, and about one
That's
in five
so
women.
Many.
No, I know. And one in five women struggle with recurring UTIs.
Ugh, and let's be honest, though, Jamie. I mean, cranberry juice is not cutting it. I don't care what people say. Like, go drink some cranberry juice. That's not
working. No, because you have to drink like vats of just the bitter juice from cranberry. Probably, it's not, like, you can't drink cranberry juice cocktail from, you know, Dole or whatever it is.
No, that's not working.
No.
And I don't want to take a ton of antibiotics. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, what are we going
to
do?
Well, I would tell you to use Eucora. It's a natural and effective way to prevent UTIs, and you know I love that.
I do.
Eucora was developed using the best research available in collaboration with a team of physicians.
Oh, and they also have this unique formula that mm-hmm. targets bacteria, and it basically enables you to safely flush bacteria out of your urinary tract, which stops the UTI before it starts.
It's amazing. And all you have to do is mix it with water, and you drink it after intimacy mm-hmm. or exercise. You always laugh at that.
I'm 5 years old.
I know. Or whenever you think you might be at risk of a UTI, because you probably know.
And the best part is that it's natural, and yet it tastes like pink lemonade. And again, I'm 5.
And that's what
I'm
you love.
Okay. I know.
So you guys, get Eucora and say goodbye to UTIs. Right now, Eucora is offering 30% off when you text OCT to 484848. But hurry, this is a limited time offer.
Yep, so you just text OCT to 484848 and you get 30% off your order of Eucora.
Say it one more time, Robin.
I'm gonna. That's OCT to 484848.
And message and data rates may apply.
And you should never forget that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you did something pretty amazing. So you transitioned and you're back in comedy. And didn't you America's Got Talent?
I did. I think I was the very first trans person they had on there. Maybe the first trans person to be on the network in prime time. Anyway, oh. I believe. And the first person to say fucking prime time too, which I...
Was that an accident or on purpose?
It was on purpose. I wasn't going to say it, but they said, the producer said, you'll get a bigger laugh. I go, I know that. That's what I do in the clubs.
That's why I say it.
That's why I say it. It's the right word. And but yeah, I got to the quarterfinals on.
Amazing. Wow. A. Mm-hmm. Did you know you were going to
come out?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, your material was probably about that.
No, it wasn't. It was about being old, actually. And they kind of left it up to me. Well, they actually did leave it up to me because I said, just before I walked out, they go, you going to do it? Are you going to come out? I go, I don't know, man.
This is what I don't get about stand-up.
Probably throwing up and they're like wondering if you were going to do it because they probably wanted you to.
They did. Well, I got to say, they left it up to me. And
right.
That's nice.
It was very nice of them. And I went out there and I mean, it's a huge theater. It's like a 3,000 theater. Simon sitting there and they're all sitting in front of you. And so Howie says to me, well, you know, why were you out for so long? I was out because at that point I said I had been out of comedy for 10 years. And when you're a stand-up comic, there are two things going on. You're talking, your mouth is moving, and stuff's coming out. But there's also a whole team up in your head of people.
Looking for the funny.
Writing jokes.
They got the cigar hanging on their tape, clicking a typewriter.
That one, like, this one.
You know, here, take this one. Yeah. You know, and it's the
Jimmy,
truth.
Take it to the typewriter.
And any comic will tell you that's absolutely accurate. That's how it works.
I don't have that kind of head.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It doesn't happen that way.
And so I'm thinking, I know it's coming. Mm-hmm. I'm still talking. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we're having this executive meeting. Should I?
And the censor's over on the side going, don't say it. I wouldn't say it.
What do we do, Barbara? Should we say it or not? So I decided that I'm 62. That's how old I was at the time. Or 63. And I said, listen to myself in the meeting. I got up in front of the whole board. I said, look.
Meanwhile, you're talking to Howie.
Yeah.
On the outside.
Yes. But I wasn't saying anything.
I'm from New Jersey, Howie. Right. Somewhere down the shore.
Yes. So, but I said to the board, I said, look, I'm never going to get this chance again, probably. Mm. And if I do come out, I could help a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh.
And if I do come out, I never have to hide again about who or what I am.
That's true. You do it on America's Got Talent. You're pretty much out there.
13 million people.
They're going to clip it out and put it on social media.
Well, I was waiting for you to come get me. Some young man stopped in the hallway and wanted to take a selfie.
Wow. Did he recognize you from America's Got Talent?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
It happens, even though it's like 2.5 years ago, I go to the supermarket and inevitably somebody will come up and recognize me. It's weird.
It's fame.
It's fame, but it's not really fame. It's sort of like, you know, bullshit fame. You know, it's like, it's
healthy fame.
It's D level fame. Yeah. It's healthy fame.
Yeah.
Because I can, you know, I can still go.
You still do your thing.
You go about your business.
And go out in your PJs. It's okay.
But I get just enough attention.
Yeah.
Where I just go, ooh, my nips get hard. And I'm just like, ooh, I like that. That's I still special. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how was that? What, yeah. I mean,
executive decision.
Oh, so oh, yeah, I, yeah, yeah. I, yeah. I so yeah. Howie said, well, why were you gone for so long? And I blurted it out and I looked over to Simon, you know, and he just made this face like, you know, like, whoa. And everybody asks if they knew. I don't think they did. I honestly don't think I really don't, because the response was.
I bet they keep them in the dark because they want
real reactions. Yeah.
In any case, all of a sudden, I see people standing up and they're screaming. And I went, oh my God, they've got pitchforks and torches and they're going to come and tar and feather.
Was this before you did your routine?
It was after.
After.
Yeah. I didn't want to come out. If I was going to come out, I didn't want to come out
before
because I wanted the set to stand on its own merit.
Yeah.
You know, because this way no one could ever say, She did well because she came out.
Right.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed my life. You know?
In what ways?
I think I became more legitimate in the eyes of my some of the clubs. They were working in better caliber room. Mm-hmm. You know, money got better. I get to be on podcasts.
Like this one,
which is, if I had ovaries and they could talk, I go, we're having a great time here, Julia. So I'm just.
I wish you could just like go inside her head for like a little.
Oh, you don't want to go there. It's just, I should run tours. It's just.
I keep having the image of that animated movie that was a few years ago with Amy Poehler. With Inside all the emotions, Out. Inside Out, all the emotions up in
the
head.
I didn't see that one.
I never saw it either. You have to see it
because it's exactly like what you're talking about. There's anger and joy, and they're all arguing up there, and there's like a control desk going, every she's going to blow.
Yeah, every comic will tell you that goes on.
That's a special talent. I wish I had a brain like that. My brain's really just focused on what I'm saying right now. And that's hard enough. So.
Well, I think that, you know, you border on that line of insanity as a comic. You know, you just, it's not far. You could take that trip to insane land very quickly when you're a comic. You know, but it's the best job on the planet. Mm-hmm. I love what I do. I don't have a penny to my name.
Neither do we.
No, you live hand to mouth, month to month. Mm-hmm. You know, one case of tonsillitis and they're repossessing my car. So, I mean, but I managed to get this far, this late in life. What could be better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel like I had this thought when you were talking about your half wife at the end there.
Is that what you call it? The half?
The other half's in the freezer. What? Oh. I'm sorry.
Well, she said two and a half.
Yes.
And you said she was a therapist. And I just thought, I thought about like the universe giving you what you needed as you've needed it. You know, like the therapist to help you, and then America's Got Talent to even help you. I mean, I almost see it as it helped your career, but it really helped you personally more.
Well, it's the chaos theory. You know, a butterfly flaps its wings in, you know, Eurasia and, you know, and a, I don't know, you know, and it changes the whole world. Mm-hmm. Are you a believiever in the power of laws of attraction?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, so
very much. Yeah.
I tell you, Wayne Dyer got me through. Dr. Wayne Dyer got me through the transit, got me through the whole transition when things were bleakest. But I believe in that. How AGT came up was I had a manager at the time named Kathy Caldwell, wonderful lady, love her dearly. We used to meet once a year at the beginning of the year and decide what we were, you know, set our career goals. Mm-hmm. The year of AGT, I said to her, look, I got to get network television this year.
Yeah.
This is in January. And so I just put it out into the universe. By October of that year, we had gotten an email from AGT out of nowhere.
Oh, so you didn't go audition?
No. They found my website. I had started to get a little press. They found my website. An agent said, do you want to audition at that point? And I said, I don't want to stand in line and, you know, with kids shooting flames out of their ears. And, you know, I don't want to, you know. They said, no, we'll give you an appointment audition.
I said, now I'm listening.
Well, yes. I was out at City College in Queens, and we pull up on a Saturday morning. And there's like thousands of kids, and there's parents juggling babies and singing dogs. I mean, there were all there's thousands of people there. And I pull it like the Princess of England. I'm just giving the wave. Hello, everyone. Hello, peasants. You know, and I went in and did my audition. I actually did two auditions that morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a couple of months later, they told me I had it.
Hmm. And then it changed your life.
Yeah. But it's the laws of attraction.
Yeah, right? Totally. Yeah. I have a question for you. You said you had the kind of like the epiphany that... that's it. And your heart chakra filled up. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could have gone your whole life without realizing what it was?
I don't think my life would have lasted much longer had I not found it. I was that depressed because I was going through the cycle of, you know, trying things that weren't working.
Yeah.
And just ending up just sad and depressed constantly. Mm.
Because you'd be like, maybe this is the thing that's going to save me. And then it wasn't.
Because you want that sense of normalcy. You know, you want to, why am I different from everyone else? Mm. I don't want to be like this.
I only ask that because I wonder if there are many people who never figure it out. You know, I wonder if that is.
Or never allow themselves to.
Or never really get there.
As far as, you mean trans-specific or just in general?
I mean in general, but trans-specific actually is where I was thinking. You know, I never thought about that. This might not be a good thing to say, but I always figured that a trans person kind of always knew on the inside their whole lives.
Some do.
Some do. I just assumed that was across
the board.
I
assumed that same thing about gay people, and you said you didn't.
I didn't know.
So it's like the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
I knew there was something wrong with me. Mm. And by wrong, I don't mean that I was trans. I just meant something was just
something what
out of
wasn't
whack,
the way it was supposed
you know?
To be.
Yeah. The missing piece, Shel Silverstein's The Missing Piece.
Yeah.
You read that and one? It's a good one. I did a whole college
enough,
paper on it.
Yeah, strangely enough, my mother, right before she died, my mother was crazy, but right before she died, she said to me, you know, when I was pregnant with you, I was convinced I was going to have a girl. She went all, and she said all through my pregnancy, I said, I'm having a girl. Even when they delivered you and told me that you were a boy, she said, you know, because back then they drugged them up. And she goes, no, I had a guy, I'm having a girl.
Wow. Did you transition before your mother passed?
Yes, actually, I did. She, my mother's old school Italian, you know, she had a real passive aggressive streak. Mm. When I first came out, she would say, you know, call me things like a he, she, and an it. Mm. And instead of calling me Julia, continued to call me Lydia, and I would correct her.
Ugh. And that's then, so passive aggressive.
Mm. Oh, God, she was the queen of passive aggressivity. So I didn't talk. We didn't speak for like 4 years, and we had issues, you know, from
time. But in the end, you spoke again?
We did speak, but it never
was resolved.
Yeah. Mm. And my father was long dead, and I don't know if he would have understood it.
Right.
So, yeah, but I did do it while she was alive, yeah.
Well, is there anywhere, like, that the people, I mean, can get you, see you, if they want to come check out your comedy?
You can YouTube me.
We're going to Google stalk you as soon as you leave. Don't you worry about that.
You can actually download my CD. It's just called Hello Boys, I'm Back. And it's actually on all platforms, including Spotify.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You can buy the actual physical CD.
On like Amazon.
On Amazon. You can get an Edison disc if you want. For your crank up Victrola.
Crank it up.
And you can go to my website, which is www.juliascotti.com.
Are you still on the road?
Yeah, I am actually. I'm going to Florida next week. Yeah, I'm traveling.
I'm busy. Time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. This was,
Julia.
I mean, sharing your story. That was amazing.
Well, thank you. I had a wonderful time.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Wow.
Oh, that was so great.
Oh, first of all, we just laughed a lot.
Oh, my God. She's hilarious.
She's so funny.
We have to go see her live.
I know. I can't wait.
We should do an outing. We should get like a group of If These Ovaries Could Talk ladies and go see Julia Scott.
Yes.
Let's, I'm gonna do that. Can we do that? How do we do that? Let's organize that.
Well, if you're interested and you're listening to this episode, why don't you send us a message on the Book of the Face or the Insta? Is that what people call it?
I don't think so.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, all those places.
But her story, right?
Her story was great. I loved how she was just like, there was a piece that was missing from her. And then it was just like, everything was clear.
It just came. I just snapped in case you didn't hear it.
I'm glad to hear, though, too, that she's working it out with her kids and all that. Mm-hmm. What a powerful lady.
She's like a butterfly.
You stop that.
Who's found
butterfly.
Her wings.
What are you even talking about with a butterfly?
People at home get what I'm saying.
Do they, though, Jamie? All right. Well, listen, this has been a great episode. Let's get us on Facebook at If These Ovaries Could Talk, on Instagram.
Ovaries_talk.
Yep.
And you could do Twitter.
Twitter, Ovaries Talk.
Or you can
email us at ovariestalk@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then, guys, we're going to be live at 11:26, 7 p.m. at the Green Space in New York City. So go to the Green Space, and that's
GREENE.org,
and you can get tickets for our live event or go to our Facebook page and the event is there.
Yes.
And we would love to meet you, so come on down.
Yes. And we also have to say a huge thank you to our sponsors for this episode, mm-hmm. Myro, Green Chef, and Eucora.
Thank you guys, because, you know, I mean, you make our show better.
Yes. And don't forget to use the promo codes we gave you for your purchases. Helps them out, helps us out.
I mean, it does.
We love that.
Well, I mean, this was another good one, Jamie.
We just keep bringing them.
Is there going to be one day where we're just like, well, that sucked?
No, because then we'd suck. Anyways, on that note, eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. If his ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.